Welcome back, kings, queens, everything in between, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren. Today is a special day. I've got a guest in studio with me, and I'll just turn it right over to him. Cole, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, name's Cole Castle. Been a comedian in Austin about 10 months, recently on Kill Tony, and you're taking my podcast virginity, so
yes,
be gentle.
I was so surprised to hear this was like your first one. Like, you were a natural on stage. I feel like most comedians, I feel like, have done some sort of podcasting work. But yeah, just to give some rundown of how I found this gentleman, I'm a big fan of Kill Tony. I really like having comedians as guests on the podcast. We had Kylie in the past, who was fantastic. And then, of course, just Kill Tony gets a lot of up and coming newer comedians. My boyfriend Buddy, everyone here knows Buddy, suggested possibly going down the list of comedians that did well, had a good set, like get the rookie card basically, because a lot of people blow up on that show. And
yeah,
we're also the studio that we're at, shout out to Media Pouch Studios, is super close to things like Creek in the Cave, Comedy Mothership, so it's a very easy little detour for anyone who might be working in comedy. If you are a comedian who stumbles across this and wants to come on, I would love to have you. But yeah, I got Cole here, who had a really, really freaking funny set.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
and Kill Tony, and I'm very honored to have you. So tell us about, I totally interrupted you. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your career in comedy. 1, 2, 3, go.
No, thanks for having me. So I moved here in Austin, like, strictly for comedy. I was in Houston before. It was all right. I just knew I wanted to do comedy, and I was a little too comfortable in Houston to where, like, I didn't have to do it, but I still really wanted to. And I've been writing jokes for like a year, maybe, or like at least writing premises in my notes. And then my lease was coming up, and I was like, I was pretty bored of Houston. I was like, I have to move to Austin, because Austin's such a great comedy scene now too, and I don't know anyone here really. I have like one friend, so I was like, if I move here, I'll be forced to do it, because I don't know anyone. If I don't do it, I'll hate myself, I'll have nothing to do. So just be here, and I'm forced to do it, and moved here. And then a week later, I started doing mics and kind of never looked back.
Nice. So. And so in Houston, were you doing like open mics and stuff like that? Like, what was the, I don't want to say, because straw that broke a camel's back is an expression used for, bad things. But I mean, what was your, okay, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to move to Austin moment? Like, did you have a really good like open mic set in Houston, or what happened there?
So like a few years ago, so I've only really been doing it for like 10 months, but a few years ago, moved to Houston, I was like, so sad. Like, long story short, like, me and my girlfriend broke up, lost my job, and then some of my high school friends like tried to hook up with my ex.
Oh no.
And then I was just like, oh, no one likes me. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. This is when I'm in Dallas. So find a job in Houston, do that, very sad. And I'm just like trying to learn, because we live together, so I'm just like trying to learn, like, be by myself, like, what do I like to do by myself. And I was just like on YouTube one night, I think, and I discovered Joe List. He has a special called I Hate Myself on YouTube. And I just fucking loved it. Like, not only was it hilarious, but it was like my type of humor. And it kind of made me realize, like, oh, I can do this. Like, I maybe thought about it a few times, but I was never going to pursue it. But after watching that, I was like, I just became obsessed. I was in therapy for a bit. And I even told her, I was like, that's the one thing making me happy, like writing jokes and like picturing myself on stage. And she's like, you got to get your cute little ass up there on stage. And I was like, all right. I spent about a month getting a 5-minute set together, do it, bomb so hard. I didn't know anything about comedy. I was one of the last ones. It was like a Monday night, and the crowd was gone by the time I went up. So I'm just pissed the whole time. I'm drinking the whole time. I'm nervous. I sat through the whole show, and I just bombed, cut my set short. I'm kind of just like, oh, fuck comedy. This sucks. And then I put it on the back burner for a minute. In Houston, I just started making more friends. I didn't really need to do it. It's still something I wanted to do. And I was still writing jokes. I knew I was going to get up there, but didn't know when again. And then kind of like a year later, I was like, I have to move to Austin to do this. And then I did. And best decision I made.
Nice. And are you full-time comedian?
No, right now? No. I have a day job. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Luckily, I work remote, so still have a day job. I'm not getting paid at all in comedy. Still... like, it's still, like, that's a long-term goal, do it full-time, but as of now, like, I still need money, so.
Yeah.
Still got that, and, like, coworkers, boss, they all know I do it, and they're very supportive, so, yeah, just handling both, because comedy is very nighttime. Like, I'll work 9 to 5, 9 to 4, and then from 6 to midnight, I'm out on 6th Street doing mics.
For sure, and yeah. I'm sure it's, like, helpful in the workplace with, like, public speaking and whatnot. I feel like, I know a lot of people who like are in sales, and they've done like improv classes, and it's just, it helps a lot there. So I'm sure that like has helped your day job.
Yeah, well, no, I was terrible at public speaking. I think I still am when it's not comedy. Like, in high school and college, my face would get super red. I get nervous because I think I just wasn't good at school. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that good, and I was pretty lazy with, like, the projects I was presenting, so I knew it was shit. So I was nervous. I knew that. Wasn't confident. But then going on stage, like, doing stand-up, I was confident in my jokes. It's funny. It's a lot different talking about, like, World War II compared to, like, talking about my dick and farts. So, like, it's a lot easier to talk about that. And, like, you hear people laugh. Like, you see people's reactions. When you're presenting in school, they're just all staring at you. And that's it. So it was a lot easier to do comedy. And I still get scared. Like, if I have to do a work presentation, I'm still shitting myself. And I'll, like, try to sneak in jokes just, like, for me, make myself relax a bit. But yeah, and I'm still, like, getting on stage, it's still scary, but it gets easier each time you get on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had a great set. Yeah, like, I feel like, yeah, you definitely kind of have, like, a little bit of a dark sense of humor. Like, who would you compare yourself to for listeners who don't know you? Like, who are your idols in the comedy scene?
I don't know. This was before I even wanted to do comedy. I loved Anthony Jeselnik. I'm okay, not his nice. Style. He's just very dark and, like, just shows no emotion. I thought it was like such a badass, just like telling jokes, everyone's laughing, he's not cracking a smile, like he controls the room. But I knew that's not the style. I'm a little bit more giggly, so I couldn't do that. And it's just so dark. It's hard doing those dark jokes like right away because you're just not good, and you're just like, this guy's just an asshole.
Yeah, you have funny. To really be able to land them.
Yeah,
like you can. I think people are like, oh, you can only like punch up. It's like, I think you can punch in any direction. You just have to be funny.
Yeah, you got to like, be creative, because there's a bunch of open micers that are just like, just straight up like racist or rude, and it's like, there's no joke there. You're just they just think since they're on stage, they can say whatever they want, and it's like, you have to be funny. Like you have to like put some thought into a joke, have to have a punchline. You can't just be like, ooh, Indians are weird, and then like wait for people to laugh.
Yeah,
like that's it. So I would say now, honestly, like Joe List and Sam Morrell, I'd probably compare myself. That's who like I like to try to like, I don't know, see myself as. I don't try to be them, but like I can see like some of my jokes like being like them or like some of their delivery.
Yeah, no, yeah. And love. I'm a big Sam Morrell fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're really good at delivering dark jokes. Your Kill Tony minute somehow incorporated what's it like, domestic violence, Kobe Bryant's death and abortion in 1 minute, and it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah,
so you figured out a way to do it. Like, your delivery was good.
Yeah, well,
it is very funny. It's not as fucked up as I'm making it sound. Everyone go listen. It's episode 678,
I don't know, just from
Whitney Cummings episode.
Yeah, well, I don't like, you say those jokes so many times and I've had it written down for so long, like I just forget how dark it is. I'm just like numb to it. Like, I hear the crowd's reaction every time, but I just don't think about it. And I like nothing, and I, like, I had some comments like, ooh, like, don't disrespect Kobe. Like, I love Kobe. Like, I'm a huge basketball guy, but like, I think enough time has passed. Like, you can make, like, if it's a joke that's like clever enough, like, you can kind of get away with it. So yeah, I guess just like dark stuff. It's mainly, I think it's just shit that's like happened to me. And I remember like the Kobe joke, a girl's texting me about just like some random girl I met off Bumble, haven't talked to her in like a year. And she just like randomly texted me talking about how her and her ex broke up, and how she just got an abortion. And like, it was like right when they were about to ban it. And I remember like sending her like a Kobe Bryant like gif or LeBron gif of like hitting a buzzer beater. I'm like, you got it right in time. So like that came to me like then. And even like the slapping a girl after sex, I was like literally hooking up with a girl and she wanted me to slap her. And she was a girl I've been with a good amount, but she was annoying that night. And in my head, I was like, I'd like to slap you when we're not having sex.
Oh my goodness.
I remember I thought of that like while we were hooking up, and I was like, I can't stop.
It made for a good joke. It in your head, and then like delivered on stage, not actually happening, but it landed.
But I was like, I can't forget, because whenever I think of something, I was like, I have to write it down right away before I forget it. And I was like, I can't stop having sex to write this joke. Like, that's not cool. Maybe if you're like high up, like a Mark Norman, Shane Gillis, they'd be like, oh, you're so artistic doing that. But me, I'm like 2 or 3 months in, I'm like, she'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
So I just literally thought about that joke the whole time so I wouldn't forget it. And then, yeah, wrote it down. And
nice. And do you have like a little joke book in your pocket and everything? Or?
No, I just use my phone. Oh, I've got like a joke book app I use, and then my notes app. I do have a joke book too. I write sometimes. I just like to write stuff down. But mainly, I just use my notes app.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And then, yeah, they kept you on stage a while for, like, the interview part, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess I came prepared with a couple of things to say, because a lot of comics, like, they sign up for Kill Tony and they're like, I just care about my minute, like, I didn't think about the interview. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, you know what the show is. Like, us comedians, we care about the minute, like, that's what we care about, but everyone else cares about the interview. Like, your set is 1 minute, the interview is 10.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know, 80-90% of the show. So that's what you, that's where you got to bring the heat. Yeah. A little bit, like, don't, like, try to be, like, too jokey, like, don't try to push too much jokes, but just, like, I don't know, be yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how you get, like, The Secret Show or Big Joke Book. Like, it's mainly the interview and not your set, I think.
Yeah. How many times had you submitted before you got picked?
So I actually got on Kill Tony when I was a month into comedy, and I kind of bombed. And I was, like, my sixth or seventh time signing up. And then I took maybe, like, 4 or 5 months off. I was like, I really need a good minute. Like, I got to redeem myself. And then maybe another, like, 10 or 12 times, and I got picked again.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I think I was, like, the last one, second to last one. And at that point, like, I was just like, oh, another night, I'm not getting on. And then you just hear your name, and it's like 5 minutes later, you're about to go up, and you're like, oh, fuck.
And they have you at Poor Choices, right? Like, you're sitting there, and they just, does someone come in and do, like, a bucket pull? Or how does
someone runs across the street from the mothership, and, like, we're all, because Poor Choices, they have, like, 40 seats. So most people are just, like, standing outside.
Yeah.
So we see the guy. We all know the guy. He just runs across the street, and everyone, like, kind of, like, gets quiet. They turn the music off, and it'll just be like, Cole Castle, you're on Kill Tony. And you're like, oh fuck. And then you just run with them across the street.
Yeah.
You talk, you go in the alley, talk to a few guys at the mothership. They tell you, like, kind of how it's going to go, what you're going to do.
Do you know who then, the guest is? Do they tell you?
I think they'll tell you, but usually I find out before, like, by people other getting on. Like, I knew that before because my buddy got on that same episode, and we were talking about his set. He got on 2 weeks in a row and did well the first time, kind of ate it the second time, but got back to back. So he was telling me it was Winnie Cummings, and he's like, talk about a set, and then I got called. So I think if you ask before, but they're very, like, weird. They won't tell you before the show. I tried to ask a guy on Monday. I was like, who's the guest this week? And he wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
So, but you can usually find out.
Yeah.
But then you're just, like, behind the curtain, and you're like, I'm fucking here. Like, you hear the audience, you hear Tony, like, it's all right there. You hear, especially if the guy's bombing and they're just going in on him, like, it gets you a little nervous.
Nice.
But I don't know, like, I sign up, like, I wanted to do this, like, try to turn that nervous into excitement. And especially during my set, like, once I hear the first laughs, I'm like, oh, it's good.
Nice. Yeah, you did great. It flowed well together. It was a good minute. Like, I feel like it's good to have something that comes back around in a minute, and you did well. And the interview part was pretty funny too.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you were talking about, and I think this stood out to me just because I'm a girl that has a podcast that talks about dating. Like, I don't really do too much sharing about personal, like, lives and stuff, like, on my side of things, but, like, I can imagine, like, I've been in the same relationship since I, like, started doing this and everything, but, like, I could imagine, like, being a single person and people being like, you have a podcast that talks about what? So, like, what was going on that day? So, like, just to fill people in, like, you had, the first thing you answered when they did the interview portion was, I have an ex and she has a podcast and it's dropping today or it's dropping tomorrow and she talks about our relationship. And I don't know that they kind of, like, pried into that a little bit.
Yeah,
that was something you seemed nervous about there.
Yeah, no. So I was like, I can't prepare. I was like, this will be interesting to talk about. Talked to this, like, TikTok influencer for a couple months, just met her on Hinge. It ended fine, but, like, we were on bad terms for a bit. And I knew she made a podcast. Like, she, like, just came out the podcast. She mentioned me in some episodes, but nothing, like, crazy. And then I knew the episode that was dropping tomorrow was, like, strictly about me. And so I was kind of, like, freaking out a bit. And so I brought that up and they were interested in that. So, I was talking about that for a bit.
Yeah. They love a good influencer roast, I feel like, on Kill Tony.
Yeah.
I feel like Tony Hinchcliffe would dropkick it like an influencer type very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I wanted to say her name, but, like, I didn't. Just, I was like, I don't want her to get, like, a bigger Kill Tony bump than me.
Yeah. Which she would. Like, was the one episode where it was like the guy's mom was trying to be a country singer and then all of a sudden she's got like 100,000 followers?
Yeah, and that guy probably got like two.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's all because Kill Tony's probably 85-90% dudes.
Yep.
Horny ass dudes. And like, you know, she's a good looking girl. So like, yeah, like I'll follow her and not him. But yeah, I talked about that. And then the episode came out and she texted me and like, we're good now. And it was kind of funny. She was just like, yeah, I talk shit on my podcast, so I guess, like, you can talk shit on this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, everything's good.
I mean, that's good that you're on good terms and stuff. And like, I mean, some part of like kind of doing content creation is you're an entertainer of sorts. And sometimes it's like the stories are a little sensationalized or they hype up something to be crazier than it is. Like there's like a teaser of like, we're going to talk about this. And it's just kind of like, oh, it's a, you know, we're just talking about, I don't know, everyday stuff. And
yeah,
it's part of the deal. Wait, how did you end up with somebody that was like, it's basically, for lack of a better term, a celebrity of sorts? Like, you moved to Austin, you don't know anybody.
It was literally just offhand. Center of Rose, which, like, never works, but Center of Rose matched with me. I didn't know who she was. She didn't say she was an influencer or anything on her profile. And we're talking, you know, hitting off, and then she was like, I guess she found my Instagram from just my Hinge, because I had my last Kill Tony thing on there, like, just, like, my Instagram's connected to my profile. So she found my last name, follow me. She's like, I just found your Instagram. And I was like, well, give me yours. She's like, I just messaged you. And I saw who she was. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, let me.
Yeah.
It's like that meme, like, the guy's, like, playing video games, like, crouching, and he, like, sits up, like, in the fourth quarter, like, to focus. Like, that's how I was, like, messaging her. I was like, oh, she's famous for some reason.
Damn.
At first, instantly, I was like, OnlyFans. Just because, like, she was hot, yeah. Fake boobs. And I thought that. And I was like, oh, no, she does TikTok. And I remember, like, you can see on Instagram how many of your followers follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 70 of my followers followed her.
Yeah, so I
was
like, I've never heard of her. Female audience.
Yeah, like, yeah, a bunch of girls like my age, a little bit younger. And then, yeah, we maybe hung out a couple of days later. She had to pick me up. I just got surgery on my ankle, so I couldn't do anything. So she picked me up, hung out, and then we kind of just hung out most days since then for like maybe like 6 or 8 weeks.
Nice. What's different about someone dating someone that's like a public profile versus, you know, maybe someone who's just, you know, a private person? Was there anything different that you noticed? Or,
well, her genre of TikTok is talking shit about guys or just talking shit about anyone. So I think like she was using me for content for sure. And there was like one time she was mad at me. I didn't even know until she made a TikTok about me.
Really?
Like she just like didn't text me for a couple hours. I was like, whatever. And then I opened up TikTok and she's like, you ever with a guy and he's just not listening? Like, just fucking leave. And I was like, wait, what? I was so confused. I was like, I thought you just left because, I don't know, you wanted to see your dogs or whatever. Like, we were together maybe 24 hours straight. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I was working from home that day. Well, I do every day. But I was like working and she was like trying to talk and I was like kind of focused on work. And I was like, dude, this fucking sucks. Like, just a girl blasting you on TikTok. And I, like, I think most of my friends knew at that point that we were talking or dating, so like they knew it was about me. And it was a little weird.
Did people like find you on their own though, or like was it pretty like did you feel like your privacy was protected? Or did she have like a bunch of followers that like found you?
No, they knew, because she posted me on her Instagram story like a week into us talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I was like, I think she does that with like every guy. She told me it kind of makes sense, like she does that because she wants girls will like DM her. Like, oh, I know this guy. He's a piece of shit. So she kind of gets, like, the inside scoop.
Interesting.
Yeah, she posted me, like, a week in us talking. She just did a show at the Parish, like, right there.
Oh, nice.
I went, and, yeah, she posted. I was like, that's a little crazy, but whatever. So I reposted it, and then that's when everyone kind of knew. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And me up, just all the girls that knew her. And I was like, I don't really know who she is, but, like, she's funny. Like, we just hit it off instantly because she's funny. Like, just humors were the same. And, yeah, so it worked out. I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, he's just using you for his comedy career. And at that point, I was like 5 months in. I'm like, she's not going to help me at all.
I mean, there's like I feel like there's mutual benefit there. I mean, if her niche is, you know, talking about things going on in her life and boys and stuff like that. Like, I mean, then everyone's getting to be part of the content. Like, might as well. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But no one's going to like book me on a show and be like, oh, this guy's talking to this TikToker. Let's get him on a show.
I mean, that's that can make for some pretty unique jokes though. Like, oh, my ex is a TikToker and she did this crazy thing today.
I tried to do some jokes, but I felt like I sounded like such a douche being like, yeah, I used to talk to this influencer. And everyone just looked at me like, shut up, dude. And then the jokes weren't that good. So I kind of just dropped it. But I did, like, I was like, if I get on Kill Tony, I'm going to save it for the interview, which it was, like, perfect timing.
Nice.
When I got pulled. So, saved it for that. And then I was like, I'm never talking about it again. Because I had to talk about it so much, because when we ended, she obviously posted about it, and everyone was hitting me up about it. And so I just had to explain it so many times. And I was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
After this Kill Tony, I'm done talking about it.
Nice.
And yeah. I'm here. talking about it.
I mean, yeah, thank you, next. Yeah, you're, I mean,
this is it. This
it, was,
is
it. It was your Kill Tony bit, and it was the first thing that came up. And
no, I know.
I just think
I
it's
care.
Interesting, too, like content creation, stuff like that, like a person that maybe is on the other side that finds themselves, I don't know, dating someone who does it. So, yeah, like, I don't know. It's I find it, yeah, interesting. But, oh, gosh, I like had, like, another question in my head that I was going to ask that was, like, semi ish layered on that. But oh yeah, like my observation, not just for like kind of everyone, is I feel like people that maybe do have these like followings that seem bigger, like they're more accessible than you think. Like the way like people, because I've like reached out to people that are like relatively, you know, large size like content creators for whether it's like podcast stuff or just, you know, in general, and like the way that they respond, it's like they read stuff.
Oh yeah,
she, like if you ever want to slide in the DMs of someone who's like a, you know, not like a Taylor Swift, but someone like relatively big, like it's not out of reach.
No, for sure. And like I witnessed her like looking at most DMs she got, and like I would do the same probably, just because it's so easy to access it and see what people are saying or like responding to your story. But yeah, I was a little surprised she was on a Hinge, but I don't know. Yeah, I had to ask, like it was weird like asking girls that knew her like who she was, and like they knew more about her than I did after like hanging out with her a couple times.
Interesting.
They're like, did you meet her dogs? Like, and they're like saying her names. And I was like, I kind of like forgot her dog's names. I was like, oh, like that's what it is. So it was, that was weird. But I mean, other than that, like she wasn't like doing anything. Like she just kind of like stay at home, maybe make a couple TikToks and then just like chill.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like she probably like got that down to a science and everything. Like, I feel like, I don't know, she's like in ads for, I don't know, Steve Madden or something like that. So it's like,
yeah,
she got a whole thing going.
Yeah, and she definitely does trips and stuff. But when we were talking, she didn't do anything.
Would you recommend dating an influencer to other guys?
No, because they'll just talk shit about you online, and it's tough. Because like I don't know, when you're talking to a girl, like you're it's so intimate. Like you just share everything, and then it's like, oh, like. And I knew she had this platform, but in my head, I'm like, oh, she's not going to talk shit about me. Like, she did it to these other guys, but not me. And I regretted. She didn't go too hard on me. Like, didn't say anything I was, like, devastated about. But no, I would not recommend it. Unless you're out of material, then definitely do it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that works, too. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And you're also really freaking funny on TikTok.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I always, like, look people up on TikTok and stuff like that. And you have some takes about joint bachelor, bachelorette parties.
Oh,
I figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I guess to, like, back up a little bit, I feel like comedians just, like, have a very strong perception of, like, dating relationships. That's why you guys make good, like, dating podcast guests. Like, you're on the stage, you see dates happening in front of you, like, married couple, you see the third date, all of that. Like, maybe you do crowd work, and then, you know, one person likes you more than the other in the couple, like, stuff like that. So I feel like you guys just always have, like, good perception of relationships. So I think that's what will make you a good guest today. I guess before I kind of pry into some, like, little dating questions, do you have any like observations, hot takes about any sort of modern dating related thing that's going on right now?
Any hot takes?
Yes. Weird buzzwords you've heard on the ether, dating trends.
I don't know. I think just dating now, it's definitely harder just because of dating apps. Like you have so many options. Mm-hmm. So people are more hesitant to settle down.
Yeah. What's your favorite app?
Hinge.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what I always
think. Yeah, that's the only one like I would do decent on.
Yeah. What's your pickup or go-to opening line?
Oh, man. I'll say like, I'm already in love, or I've already bought a ring. Sometimes that works. Or I'll just try to like say something that's like on your profile.
Yeah.
Try to like spin off that.
Voice prompt, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
No. I think I did it for like 2 days and I was like, no, I can't do this.
What's your top picture?
Like my first one?
Yeah.
I think it's just like a group picture of me, and it's kind of like, cropped everyone else out. I'm next to like a couple shorter guys, so it makes me look taller.
Nice.
And well, it's annoying. I am 6 foot, so I put 6 foot.
You are tall. I saw you when you came in. He is 6 foot.
Yeah, everyone's like, dude, you're 5'11". I've gotten measured multiple times on first dates. I'm like, I swear I'm 6 foot.
Yeah.
It almost makes you want to put 6'1" and lie, but
I mean, yeah, the 6'1" guys are usually accurate. It's like this, yeah.
Yeah, but. If you're like 5'7 or 5'8, definitely you should lie a little bit.
Well, I also think no one really knows how tall people are. We're in Texas. Cowboy boots can add an inch or two. I also think everyone's like, guys don't, like, he lied about his height. I also think guys don't know how tall they really are because you guys don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you guys are just like, okay, this guy's saying he's 5'11". Like, I thought it was 5'9", but if he gets to be 5'11", I'm 5'11". And yeah. then all of a sudden, no one knows how tall anyone is.
And it's like you said, it's like their height probably in like cowboy boots.
Exactly.
Maybe on their tiptoes a little bit. They got the cowboy hat. So it's like stops up here.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's, I'm trying to think. Yeah, so 6 foot, I always get commented on that. Like, oh, are you really 6 foot? But yeah, no, Hinge is definitely my go-to.
Nice. What was I going to say? Oh, I guess a random hot take that I always keep saying. Do you think Run Clubs are the new dating app? And what are your thoughts on Run Clubs and people using them to meet people?
Dude, just everyone's hot in Run Clubs. Like, I've never seen one ugly person in a Run Club.
That's true.
I was like, I think you have to be hot. Like, if you're an ugly person trying to join a Run Club, they will not let you in.
Well, what's funny is there's like multiple Run Clubs now where it's like you can kind of like pick the one that's you. Like, apparently there's one in Austin that's like known for being super douchey that like everyone is like petitioning against because really? It's just like guys thirst trapping and they're like hogging the whole street.
Yeah, and they're all like the Raw Dogs Running or
something.
It pisses me off.
Like, people hate the Raw Dog Runners because they're like, they're not real runners. They're just thirst trapping influencer dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
I don't know. Yeah, they're hot. They're too hot for me. I would never do it. I hate running. Dude, especially, I remember I was on 6th Street like Friday morning. I was looking for my car. I stayed the night at like some girl's place and I was just hungover, smelled like cigarettes. And this Run Club just ran right past me. They're all so hot and fit and had their life together. And I was like, I fucking hate all of y'all. I'm like looking for my car, don't know where I parked it. And no, I'm not a Run Club guy. And they all like cold plunge too. And like, I've seen videos of like 10 of them cold plunging in the same little tub. Like, it's a little nasty.
Yeah.
They're all hot, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know what I keep seeing on LinkedIn? People like share it, talking about cold plunging. Like, LinkedIn is like full of like weird influencer entrepreneur types. And they're just like, there's a whole bunch of like people doing cold plunges and posting them on LinkedIn. It's fucking
it's like
weird.
Wannabe Joe Rogan's talking about it.
Oh my God, I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I work hard, but I hate that like grind culture bullshit. Like, if I see anybody that's just like growth mindset, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly.
I've never done a cold plunge. I might, but I don't even really know the benefit. It just wakes you up, I guess.
I don't know. I choose jacuzzis every time.
Yeah. I'm a big like hot shower guy. Like, I'll try to turn on cold at the end. I heard that. It's healthy for you for some reason.
It's supposed to be.
I last like 5 seconds and I start screaming and then I turn it off.
Yeah, no. No, it sounds terrible. My other like hot take. So, okay, another thing that I keep seeing like on TikTok, everything, I sound like so chronically online. I need to stop saying that. I feel like another question that women are asking the men because it's hot outside and stuff, but like guys saying, I love a woman in a sundress. What the fuck is it? Like, and it's kind of like, what the fuck do guys mean when they say sundress? Because it's like, I think women don't refer to their own dresses as sundresses. They're like,
oh, really?
All the guys are like, I love a woman in a sundress. And like, women will be like, okay, what do you mean by sundress? And they're like, you know, a sundress. And it's like, okay, like, is it like a not a full, like, I don't know. What do guys consider a sundress when they say that?
Like, when you say sundress, I think like the little noodle straps and then a dress and it's like flared up or whatever. Like, it's not a tight dress. It's got some flare. Yeah. Is that what you say?
I don't know. That's like every guy like is describes it like they're like, I don't know. It's like a, you know, it's not long. It's not tight. It's just a sundress.
And I think it's nice because it's like, it can be classy. Like, you can wear it to church, but it's also like show some skin.
Yeah.
And if like you're just a little horny boy, you're just like, dude, it's easy access for the puss. Maybe if your girlfriend's wearing a sundress, like, I could just flip that John right up and we could be banging in 5 seconds.
Jesus. I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Because like, I've never referred to a dress as a sundress. So I'm just like, when guys are like, sundress, is it like short or whatever? And like, I asked like my boyfriend this. He's like, you know, it's like, I think it's just a thing like this. It's like, what the fuck is it? Like, no one knows what a sundress even is. But
I had no idea. Everyone was on the same page of what
sundress. I don't know what a sundress is. I just, yeah. I'm like, a dress that, is it supposed to be like bright colored like the sun? I don't know.
I don't think girls wear them much anymore. Well, it's also nice, like, when you see, like, when girls start wearing sundresses, it's also like getting warmer outside, which is like just a good feeling, like springtime. But I feel like girls don't really wear them that much anymore. Hmm. I don't know. I don't pay attention that much.
Do you consider yourself an outdoorsman?
No.
All right, go to the next question. Did you read the questions ahead of time? Because these are kind of fun.
I don't think so. Okay. I think I read one.
Okay. Cool. No, I like doing them as surprises. Do you have any experience like hunting, fishing? Like, are you from Texas originally?
Yes, but no, I'm such a bitch. I'm not a manly guy like that. I've never hunted, hate fishing, camping, no way, like, city guy all the way.
Okay, fuck yeah. Well, I would love to hear your thoughts on this take, because I feel like this is a good comedian question. Okay, the mailbag, and I'm not going to spoil it, so the subject line is going to just be venison stew. This woman says, I'm not sure if I'm asking for advice here or just trying to figure out if this is normal or not, or maybe I'm at risk of diseases. I don't know. So I've been seeing this guy who lives out in the sticks a bit. He's very much an outdoorsman who loves hunting, fishing, all that. I went over to his house one night and he made venison stew, which was pretty good. He said it was a special recipe with the deer being from the woods that we were in. After I finished, he told me he had a secret to tell me. While the deer meat from the stew was organic or from the wild, he was not the one who hunted the deer. I was confused. I asked, well, who did it? He says, my Jeep. Apparently, 2 months ago, he was driving home one morning and hit and killed a deer. Not wanting to let perfectly good meat go to waste, well, he kept it and still has some of the meat left in his freezer. I was freaking out at first, but he reassured me he did everything right, and his family has been doing this since cars became a thing. He said, if you're the one to hit a deer, it's fresh, and if the deer didn't appear sick, it's generally pretty safe. When I asked why keep it a secret, he said, well, while it's not bad or unsafe, it's just considered a super redneck and trashy thing to do, and also, you look cooler when people think you hunted the deer rather than just foraging it. I checked WebMD a lot, and I think I'll be fine. I do like this guy. Is this weird or a red flag, though?
Wait, so he told her he hit the deer after she ate it?
Yeah.
Stew or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, the worst way to go about it, I feel like. Like, right after she eats it, and he's like, you know what you just ate? It's not actually what it is.
Well,
like,
it is the actually, same thing, technically.
Yeah, but it's, like, that's not exactly, like, how I did it, kind of.
I don't
like,
think weird, he told like, her, though, that it was hunted. He just said it's from the woods.
So how, what did he tell her originally? That he hunted it?
No, he said it's like organic. It's like from these woods. I guess he didn't tell her. Maybe, or I don't. I think she would have said if he lied. Like usually these, I have ADHD. All my listeners are ADHD. They're thinkers. They tell me everything. But he said, he just said like from the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fact, it was kind of like, hey, guess what? Like I didn't actually shoot and kill it. I've like ran. It's roadkill meat, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know why. Like, did he? Probably thought she'd be like, oh fuck yeah, that's sick. Like, I can't see any girl like reacting like good to that.
No, I think, well, because I think like it does, like it's like the hunter thing. It's like it's cooler when you shoot the deer versus like it's like a roadkill when you hit it with your truck or something.
Yeah.
And then also like, because I don't know, but apparently like I was like looking this up on like Reddit and stuff, because I was like, okay, is this fucking weird? Like, is this girl gonna get like, what's it, like prion disease or something like that? Like that's like that's what happens like with like mad cow disease. If you eat like bad meat, you can get like crazy like brain eating amoebas or whatever. But apparently it's like a thing like out like in the boonies, basically. Like sometimes like if you get on like the police list for like roadkill, they have a list for like if a deer gets hit and they find like, I don't know, someone hits a deer, they call like the police come, whatever. Mm-hmm. They have like a list of people they call. Like sometimes it's like a college like biology department for like dissection, but sometimes it's like random families are just like, yeah, free meat.
Yeah.
And then it's also like some people are like, oh yeah, you don't have to hunt it. It's kind of like more ethical. Like the animal's dead anyway. Like don't let the meat go to waste.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I think it just probably freaked her out, like telling her like right after, like she was like, at risk of like some disease, like either tell her before or like give it a few days.
Yeah.
So she knows she's like in the clear.
Yeah.
Cause I know like if I ate something and someone right away was like, ooh, like I got sick off that. Like you might get sick too. Like I'm gonna start freaking out and like getting in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm getting sick.
Yeah.
I remember there was one time my, some of my roommates were taking mushrooms, and I've never done like psychedelics, like scares me too much, but someone ate it like 30 minutes before everyone else. And then the other people just ate it. And then like right after they ate it, the guy who ate it first like fainted and like pissed his pants.
Oh shit.
And so they just looked at each other, ate it, and are like, oh fuck, like these could be bad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I was like, that's why I can't do that shit. Like I just freak myself out.
Yeah. No, like what is, okay, have you have you been on a date and like had someone order something really weird that like had you really confused?
No, usually like a first date. Or just any day.
I think like early on, like before you know them and like really like them and know all the quirks.
No, I don't think so. Well, I'm not much of a foodie. It's like first dates, I'll never go for food, just like drinks or maybe something else. Never a restaurant. But no, not really. I mean, I'm not a foodie at all, so I don't go to any places like that exotic. So I feel like there's not really many options for them to get something crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe if they ordered like a rare steak, I'd be like, that's insane.
Okay.
But I guess that'd be it. So no, nothing that comes to mind.
Nice. Okay. I'm trying to think, because like I've been on dates where like someone is like, let's try this like weird thing. Like I've been someone's like, let's try like the escargot, like we'll split, like we'll
I do that it. Yeah, like
that kind of stuff. Or like what's it like uni shooters or something from like sushi places, or if we're doing like sake or something like that. I think it's kind of fun to do that. I'm trying to think if I had anything like really weird. I feel like the weird stuff is like the things that they just like think is normal and don't make a thing. It's like, wait, what are you drinking? They're like, oh yeah, like I really like to have like a vodka crayon with like extra orange juice in it or something. So something weird where it's like they just have a thing that they like, and they're like, yeah, or like they, I don't know, drink milk or something like that.
Yeah, or it's like they know this bar a lot, so they get like a secret like drink or like a cool drink and try to act like it's like they know about this. It's like almost reflexing just because they know about this drink, but like it's really not even that good.
Yeah.
No, I tried oysters for the first time with the last girl I talked to, and I hated that.
I love oysters.
I cannot deal with it. It's just so slimy. And she's like, you need a cracker with it. I'm like, why do I need a chaser with this food? Like, if I need a chaser with it, it's not good.
Yeah. What's the, okay, what's your go-to like first date here in Austin?
I don't know. Just like any place that's like you can get drinks, but not like a Lucky Duck or Latchkey's, like somewhere like more chill. Just you can sit and talk. I really don't know. Maybe try to find something that's not like $20 a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I went on a first date last night. I went to Whistler's, and that was like $20 a drink. And that was like my second time there, which it was fun. But yeah, just trying to find any place where you can just talk and get drinks.
Yeah.
I've
heard like Latchkey's like the place now.
For
like,
first dates?
Well, no, just like in general. Like, because I first moved to Austin, it's been 6 or 7 years. Like, I was like 25 or something, and everything was like all West 6. Like, it was like, now Buford's is like apparently all college kids, but it used to just be like, that was like the young professional Saturday night place. And like, I'm on TikTok, everyone's like talking about like Latchkey. I'm like, the little place right there.
Yeah. No, it gets popping. I remember the influencer girl I was talking to, that was like her favorite bar to go to, so we'd go there a lot. And she told me she banged one of the bouncers, so she would always be able to cut in a line. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then I remember we were waiting in line, and the line was long, and it wasn't that bouncer. And I was like, at first I was judging her. I was like, no, I fucking get it. Like, I'd suck this guy's cock to skip this line right now. Like, so I was like, good for you. Like, nice. You're saving time.
So if a girl says she knows the bouncer, like everybody at a bar, is that like any sort of red flag, or is it a good thing?
If they hug the bouncer, it's that's a huge red flag.
What else are your red flags?
I don't know. I guess like first day, if they're on their phone a lot. Yeah, knowing the bouncers is huge. Like if they, especially like they give them a hug and the bouncer like picks them up, you're like, oh no.
I feel like bouncers aren't that. Like, I feel like a promoter is where the real red flag. Like, bouncers are just, they're dudes.
Whoever the front
like,
door guys are. Is that the bouncer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like door guys are just, they're like, they see people come in. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like door guys are like ho-hum chill dudes. I don't know. I'd be more worried about like promoter types. Like the guy that runs the bottle service that you have to go to.
That's club guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you're just kind of like a club rat probably, which is also probably a red flag. I'm not a club guy at all. So if they're going to clubs, like what is like Superstition and I don't know the other clubs.
Didn't that one just like get closed down for like some weird fraud thing?
Did it?
I think so.
Oh, because I know Estelle's closed too.
Yeah, it's part of like that whole.
Is that part of it? Yeah, because I knew a guy that was running a comedy show there like every Thursday, and he said it was good for like a couple months, and then they had a whole bunch like money laundering and maybe sexual harassment. I don't know, just a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a club girl. Don't know the bouncers. I get like if she's like trying to be friendly with the bartender to get free drinks, I'll respect that.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, get your free drinks. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Other red flags? I don't know. I think I just kind of like feel it out and see how it is. And then I kind of like figure out what I like and don't like with them.
Got it. Okay. So say you meet a girl, you're going to her house for the first time. You walk in and you see something like some piece of decoration on the wall, or like just like a little tchotchka kind of decor thing. What type of thing like that is a red flag? What type of thing is a green flag?
Well, I will say, I just thought of another red flag. It's being too political. Whether you're on the left or right, if you're too political, it's too annoying and I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
And you're just going to be annoying the whole time and like angry probably, especially right now during the election. So not dealing with that. The girl I went on a date with last night, we tried to make plans last week, and it was during the debate, and she was like, I kind of want to watch the debate, and I was like, oh God.
No.
But she was like, no, I just like wanted to watch with my friends. Like, I'm not too political. And I was like, that makes sense.
It's fun for the moments. Like, if you're going to like a bar or something to just like make fun of like eating the cats or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know, that'd be fun. Yeah, that's what she said. She was like, I just had some beers with my roommate and we were watching. And I was like, that's good. And I did the same thing with my friends. So
they're eating the dogs.
Yeah, it was funny. I was in Jacksonville for work watching it. And like I said, I'm not political at all. I don't really care. But my coworkers are like pretty conservative. It's so, like every time like Kamala would say something, they're like, fucking bitch, shut up. And then Trump would say something like, yeah. And then Trump said something about eating the dogs, and they just like put their heads down. They're like, god damn it.
Oh my gosh, the memes from that are so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, silly. So okay, political, what,
anything on their walls? I don't know. I think it'd be weird if they just like don't
crystals
have... Oh yeah, it's not a deal breaker. I don't know, it's just like whatever, if you like it. I don't like astrology girls. I can deal with like the crystals, but the astrology, like, oh, like, sorry I did this, I'm a Taurus. It's like, no, you're just kind of being a bitch.
Yeah, I'm a sarcophagus. The Mercury's are in Gatorade.
Yeah, like when they start blaming their astrology sign for like how they're acting, that's when, you know, like you can believe in, what is it called? Like your daily.
Yeah, they're fun. They're like kind of fun.
Like something to get you through the day, whatever. The crystals, they can be cute, but. Yeah, when you start making it your personality, it gets a little annoying.
I don't understand it. What's a green flag? They have a, I don't know if it's a poster, if it's a thing, a decoration. You walk in, you're like, oh, you have that.
Oh, just like something in their home?
Yeah.
I would say like a lot of like pictures with like friends or family.
Okay.
I think that's cute. Like, it just shows like, you know, they actually care. They have friends and like they care. They like their friends. They like their family. It's cute. Like, they don't really care more about like how it looks. They just like, you know, the pictures. I don't know. I like a lot of plants.
Nice.
I think that's a...
Pets. Is there such a thing as too many pets or too little pets? Girl has two golden retrievers, red flag or green flag?
It's kind of tough. I mean, I love golden retrievers, but like the influencer girl, she had two big dogs and in bed, like, and they'd snore so loud and like take up all the bed and like they're cute, but like it gets annoying after a while. So I guess it just depends. If they have a couple big dogs, it might be tough. But I love cats. I love most dogs. Honestly, I think I'd choose a big dog over like a little rat dog.
Yeah.
Like a little Bichon or like a Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like something that's like ratty and not cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they, I'm trying to think of like, what if they're, well, no, cause guys, I was going to say if they're a bad tipper, it was going to be my question. Do you notice if someone's a bad tipper, and is that?
I've never really noticed, but if they were, then yeah, that's definitely a red flag.
Okay.
Or I'd probably like, if I noticed, I'd be like, "Why'd you do that?" If there was maybe like some, if they like really fucked up, just depending how bad their tip was, like maybe let it slide. But if it's like a constant thing, I'm just like, "Yeah, you're being cheap."
If they ask to speak to the manager for any reason, are you out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what for?
That's the thing, yeah. What for?
I don't know, like...
Something that isn't my, like, my shoes on fire. Or, like, there's
yeah, because I'm such, like... Like, me personally, I'm such a pushover. Like, whatever. If I'm at a restaurant and I get it wrong, I'm just, like, I'm just gonna... I guess this is what I'm eating now. Or, like, they get my... All the time, I get tequila soda. Mm-hmm. And, like, the bartender will hear Tito's soda. And I'm, like, I guess I'm drinking Tito's. Like, I don't even correct them.
Yep.
I'm too scared. And so, yeah, if someone's like that, I'm just, like, it's not that deep. So yeah, probably a red flag.
Okay, you're going to a bar for a first date. Where do you sit? Do you do tables, sit at the bar, or something outside, or etc. elsewhere? Where's your go-to spot at a bar to sit for a date?
Depends on the weather. I'd like to sit outside if it's nice out, and like just sit on a bench or something and sit across. I'll never sit side to side. Maybe if we get like the corner of the bar and like we're each like on each corner, so like we're kind of still across. But I'm never sitting on the same side of the booth.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Unless you got a couple across from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was my other one?
Have you ever done that?
If there's a couple, it depends. There's some like weird, like places that are like, you know, like nicer upscale that have like they put the people sitting next to each other, but it's like someone I'm like, it's like my actual like boyfriend and stuff like that. Or if like a couple, or you all got a double date thing and then you sit with your person. Yeah. But like, no, it would be, if I was like on a first date and a dude like sat down next to me, I'd be like, what are we doing? This is weird.
Yeah, like, why do you think this is okay?
Yeah, like that would, yeah, that would just be weird. Like, I also like to like look people in the eyes. Like, I feel
yeah, because like, that's more like you just want to like touch them. And yeah, like for a first date, you want to like look at them and like talk to them, mm-hmm, and not strain your neck while you're doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely sit across.
Mm-hmm. If a girl insists she wants to split the check, what do you think after a date? Actually, I'll go rewind that a bit. Date wraps up. Are you always paying the check, or are you ever not paying the check?
No, I'll pay. So like, usually, what I like is, I feel like most first dates, like, we'll hop around to a couple bars. That's
good. Changing locations.
And walk around, and, like, I'll pay for most of it. But if she goes, like, I'll get this round. Like, that's probably the biggest green flag there is.
Okay.
And even I'm like, no, you don't have to. And she's like, no, I will. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, I just paid, like, $60 for this drink, for these drinks at the last place. Like, yeah, you can get the next round. Like, just them offering is nice.
Nice.
So that's a big green flag. If they don't do that, it's fine. But I think after a while, like when you're really like dating someone, like dating like boyfriend, girlfriend, mm-hmm, you kind of get pretty even.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out.
Yeah. No, I think, okay. So yeah, if you get to that point, are you, okay, do you opt for, we swap off back and forth on dates? Is it, you go on a date, one half of the couple pays the check and, you know, you'll get it the next time it evens itself out. You put both cards into the check and then you split it. You have the server take care of it. Or are you, I'll pay it, you Venmo me, and you gotta like nickel and dime.
No,
which of those?
I'd swap, like, okay, in a relationship. Like, I'll get dinner, and then if we go somewhere the next night or something, it's like, I got dinner last night. Or it's like, I got drinks at the bar, so then you'll get dinner. Or just something like that.
Okay.
So, like, it's not really 50-50, but, like,
It evens itself out.
Yeah, without being too much of, like, I don't know, prick about it.
Yeah.
I guess.
I always, like, yeah, that was always, like, I've been on, like, Venmo, like, paying somebody, and then I see, like, a couple that's, like, been together for 2 years. Like, I've seen it with married couples, which is weird, because I'm like, don't you guys have a joint bank account where it's, like pizza or something? It's, like, half of dinner. It's, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, that's just, I don't know, that's weird, yeah, to me.
Do you know what's been pissing me off lately is what? Going to group dinners, like, 10 or 12 people, and you just split the check evenly between everyone.
Oh, I fucking hate that.
Hate that.
Because
like then you start monitoring. I'm like, this guy had 5 fucking drinks and I had 2, and now I'm paying for some of his. And especially like if you're really not eating that much, because I know when I go to a dinner, like group dinner, birthday, whatever, like we're going out after, so like I won't eat that much. I just don't want to be like too full, mm-hmm, so then I'll just want to go home.
Yeah.
But yes, like I don't eat that much, I'll drink, but just splitting it that way I hate.
Oh,
but I guess
God,
some restaurants maybe have to.
I think some do, or it's like people don't want to, like, I don't know, fuck with the server. I like big group dinners are crazy. They all, like, those piss me off almost as much as the, I've never been on one, but joint bachelor bachelorette parties. I remember I was just about to start roasting.
Oh,
that,
yeah, yeah.
And we never finished, because I know, I'm sure we are not the only people who hate those.
So
any personal experience with those, by the way?
No, I got in a little trouble posting that, because this past weekend my sister and her fiance just went on a joint bachelor bachelorette trip, but it was very like last minute. Like, it, yeah, wasn't actually, it was like they planned it like a month ago and just went with like a group of friends, so it wasn't really, but, and I didn't end up going just because I couldn't, I was already out of town for work. But what I said about if they do the joint trip, the guy's probably cheated before in a relationship. All the other friends I know that have done it, they've had problems in a relationship. Like, they've broken up, maybe not cheated, but like they've broken up before,
yeah,
and then they're back together. I mean, I guess I do get the point of like y'all the same friend group, but
yeah,
like my one, I went on a, I think this is the only bachelor party I've been to, maybe a couple years ago, and they're like in the most secure relationship ever.
Mm-hmm.
And like we went to Vegas, got a midget stripper, that was a good, nice, time. Went to the actual strip club, like, and then she's just like, yeah, it was fun. Like, it was fun. Like, I like just like being with the dudes for a couple days.
And that's what it's supposed to be about, is like, yeah, it's like once you become someone's spouse, you're basically, you know, a lot of times people start having kids right away. It's like your last kind of time to hang out with like your close male friends, your close female friends.
Yeah.
Also, like, once you've been on one bachelor bachelorette party, you realize very quickly that like wherever you go, nobody is excited to see a bachelor bachelorette party walk in the room. Like, no, I feel like there's no risks, yeah, of cheating, because like people just see like a bachelor party walk in, a bachelorette party walk in, and they go the other direction, because it's just
especially in Austin, it's big for bachelorette parties
now. Yeah,
I saw one maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, and I despise them the whole,
yeah,
time. They were having so much fun too, like time of their lives, and I was like, I hate all of y'all.
Yeah, like it's like it's people that are on their worst behavior with main character syndrome. They're like
they're all wearing the same outfit, like maybe tiaras or
yeah, they're like trying whatever. Like I remember like I would have dudes like like walk up and they'd be like, my friend's getting married, blah blah blah, and they would be like dressed a little too nice for Austin. I'd be like, I don't like, go get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Like, what, you don't want to? It's like, no, I don't want to talk to a bachelor party. And like I feel like people are like, well, guys like bachelorette parties. Like, no, they don't. Like, I. Dudes are like, no, this girl's a liability, keep her away.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, I don't think anyone wants to cheat on their on a, like, even if someone wanted to cheat on a bachelor or bachelorette party, like, everyone's running away from you. It's not gonna happen.
No. And also, like, when you go on a trip, I do get like, if you're going out, you can do the joint thing and like maybe guys and girls separate and then you come home to your fiance whatever, or like the hotel. But I feel like when you're engaged, you're probably already living together.
Yeah,
so it's like you have that few days, because I remember when I lived with my ex, like I would have like some guy nights, like poker nights or like playing basketball. I'm like, this is nice. Like,
yeah,
just to be with the guys, like shoot the shit. And I'm just talking to my girlfriend all the time. It's like nice to be with the guys. So I feel like that's what it should be. But I mean, it's just, I guess, you know, it's their bachelor trip, so whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. The one time I saw that like work was like, it was a couple that like lived internationally. They had like a wedding in like Puerto Rico or something.
Yeah.
And they just basically did it like the two nights before their wedding, they did a joint one because like everyone was traveling anyway. They're like,
yeah,
we're just gonna have it like so that we're not asking people to travel too much. I'm like, that I get. I've also seen people do like, they call it like a Jack and Jill party, like they have their own bachelor bachelorette parties and then they'll have like a joint one in their hometown that's like a barbecue or something for the people that couldn't really travel, like their older friends have.
Yeah, there's like, but engagement parties.
Yeah,
I've been to a bunch of those.
Yeah,
but I think only one bachelor party.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah, especially when you're in the wedding. Yeah, you've got the engagement, you got the bachelor party, the wedding, like renting the tux or the suit that you get. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I feel like dudes just wake up the day of the wedding, and like women, it's like, get up at 4 a.m. You gotta get your makeup done. Like I hear guys like go golfing that morning. I'm like, you have time for golfing?
Yeah.
But no, weddings are fun. Have you ever? If you want to, what was I gonna? I'm trying to like find a way to frame this question right. If you want to have like a wedding hookup, what's the best way to do it?
Wedding hookup?
Yeah.
I think you just gotta hit the dance floor.
Yep.
That's the best way. Or if you're giving a speech, then I think if you give a good speech, then like you should be able to hit on someone at least. I mean, but yeah, hit the dance floor. I think that's basically it. And like, I feel like all the weddings I've been to, there's some kind of like after party after, like at the hotel or something. So just go from there. But like, everyone's just so happy at a wedding.
Yeah.
So.
And it's everyone knows each other. Like, everyone's, like, they're dressed to the nines. Like, it's a good time.
And no one's really, like, trying, at least in my experience, like, no one's, like, trying to hook up at a wedding.
No.
Like, if it happens, it happens. But no one's like, oh, dude, like, I want to hit on that girl. It's like, no, we're just enjoying our friends getting married and having a good time.
Exactly.
And getting drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Those are some of the happiest days. I love a good wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we? Oh, we're getting close to time. Cole, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, I appreciate you having me on. Final thoughts, I don't know, go see a comedy show. I always tell people this, like, comedy live is so much better than video. Like, you just get, you, when you're with people that are laughing, it makes you laugh. Like, I've seen people on Kill Tony, like, on YouTube, and I'm like, they're all right. And then I see them live, and they just fucking crush.
It's so, yeah, it's so
good. And it's like, so cheap, too. Like, the Mothership may be a little expensive with the two-drink minimum and everything, but
I love Creek.
That's yeah, good. Creek is good. Like, tickets, like, $20-$30, and you'll see, like, you could see Shane Gillis for $40. Maybe not anymore, but there's always, like, pop-ins everywhere, too. So just go to any comedy show. It doesn't matter. Just some comedian that, like, you may have heard of, may not even like at the time, but just go see him. It'll be worth it. I always tell people that it's always worth your money. You're never mad that you, even if you don't like it that much, you don't love it, like, it'll still worth the money.
I think also, like, if you're going as like a date, like, maybe it's not a good first date, but I feel like it forces conversations that maybe you like wanted to have. Because a comedian will talk a lot about dating. If you sit up at the front, they might be like, what are you guys like? And then you kind of have to have that, like, it forces your little what are we conversation or something like that. Like, I feel like it's a good, like, third date.
Yeah. Well, I tried, it's my first day last night, I tried to go to the show at the Creek. It was, like, a comedy show, but it wasn't stand-up. It was, like, skits and whatnot, like an Eric Andre type show. And I wanted to go. We showed up too late, and it ended by the time we got there. But I wanted to, like, see how she reacted to some of the certain jokes. Like, if there was dark jokes, like, was she laughing or was she pissed? And that's like a good indicator.
Yeah.
But also maybe not good for a first day, like doing that the whole time, because you can't really talk to each other.
Yeah. How many dates would you wait to take a girl to a comedy show, typically? What do you think, it's a good like third date move, or
like see me,
or like no, like if you're going on a date, like it probably wouldn't be a good like first date because you like want to but like what, how many dates in would you wait before doing like a comedy show?
It's like third or fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, because then that's when you kind of get the bond over like the comedians, and I mean especially me, like I love talking about comedy, I could talk about it all day, so it's nice. I feel like I almost talk about it, I try not to talk about it too much on dates just because I know all these comedians, and most of them they're like, what the fuck are you, like I don't know any of these guys, like they may know Shane Gillis or like I don't know Theo Vaughn, but they don't really know anyone else.
Well, you know what's worse than that? A guy with no personality who has no passion. So keep doing that, because I think like most girls that are good people with good qualities will be very attracted to that. Like dudes with hobbies, green flag.
Yeah, and it's also like, I definitely try to like, I hate doing it, but like preface it on my Hinge, because all girls like, oh, you need to be funny. I'm like, here's proof that I'm funny.
Nice.
Is this good enough?
Do you ever get girls being like, I'm funnier than you, or like trying to like roast you a little too hard? You're like, ooh, don't do that, or?
No. I mean, some girls will be like, I'm always the funny one, and I'm like, you won't be with me.
Nice.
And then, but no, they won't try to like roast me or anything. If anything, like I'll roast some, and then I get to see like their reaction, and if they like laugh and they're okay with it, then it's a good sign.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Cole, where can we find you? On socials and stuff?
Instagram, Cole Castle, C-O-L-E underscore K-A-S-S-U-L. TikTok, Castle, spelled regularly, .77. Or you can just type in my name. Just come out to Austin. Like, come to open mics. If you like Kill Tony, come see people bomb in real time. It's fun. Just come see a show. Come nice. Support.
Favorite, like if you could recommend like any, because I know sometimes there's like the, you know, the shows where it's like, oh, what are the best open mics that people should pop in and see, like any sort of like weekly variety shows that you recommend, anything that you pop into?
Creek in a Cave Sunday night, they have Banana Phone. It's okay. Comedians do 1 minute, and then there's like a panel, not on a stage like Kill Tony, but like they're like kind of off of it, like four guys, they have a mic, and then they just roast whoever did it, and then anyone in the audience can roast them too.
Nice.
So that's fun. Like that. you can be in the audience and still interact, and then you get to see some comedy with, they do 1 minute, and then some people do like characters and stuff. It's so fun. It's usually almost a full room at Creek in a Cave, and it's like a Sunday night too.
Nice.
So that's cool. Any Creek in a Cave show, honestly, Sunset has good ones. Secret Show is good. Mothership, of course. For the cheap ones too, they usually sell, but like they do a showcase.
I like Bottom of the Barrel a lot. That was so good.
I've never been to that.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
go to Bottom of the Barrel.
I need to.
So good.
I need to. But yeah, anything at the Mothership, and yeah, just, I mean, just any comedian you like or don't like, just go see them.
Cole, everyone, Cole Castle.
I appreciate it.
C-O-L-E underscore Castle, not spelled the same way. Thank you, Cole. This has been great. Thanks for helping answer. Yeah. Over and out, everyone. Bye.